Julia George.
BBC Radio Kent.
It's all here.
To Andy, first of all, Andy Robertson, who is a technology expert. And we've talked to Andy before about how we take photographs and share them these days and what they mean to us. Nice to have you with us, Andy. Good morning.
Hello.
First of all, just your reaction to the story.
It's quite, so in some ways, quite heartwarming, isn't it, that a photo has been taken by a stranger, but obviously then it's lost. In the past, it would be very difficult to track that down, or you would just write it off. But now we've got this chance of sort of banding together and finding this really valuable photo. And we all know how valuable photos can be in any situation. And obviously, if a loved one's passed away, it becomes even more important to track that down.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, he has his memories of that day at Sissinghurst Castle Gardens. And if his wife died only a few months later, his memories of that day will be heightened. They will be important to him. But are our memories enhanced if we have a photograph to go with them?
I think that's what we're doing on social media, isn't it? We're extending our memory by sharing it with sort of friends and family that we're connected with online. I think that for this gentleman, that means that as well as his memory, he's able to share those last moments as well by posting that online, and it obviously has it in his collection of photos.
How important is it that we have a photograph of a loved one, particularly after we've lost that person? Do certain photographs, do you think, do they become very significant for people?
Yeah, I think they do, and I think how they are significant has changed because the way we take photos has changed. So whereas we took very few photos, obviously they would be produced, printed out and in albums and only seen by our sort of the people who came to our home. Now photos are much more kind of almost public property and something we willingly share with our wider community. So I think their significance has changed where they are in our lives, and they become sort of placeholders and markers of the different milestones and the different people that are important. It's almost like a badge of these are the people who are important to me.
Mm. It's interesting, though, that when I talk about this gentleman and this photograph, I imagine a natural photograph. I mean, holding one, a printed photograph. And maybe it's a generational thing. Maybe it's because we're talking about a slightly older gentleman, or maybe it's a thing that I think about, those most important photographs. For me, the really important ones are the ones I can physically hold rather than the ones I can scroll through on my computer screen. I don't know why that is.
I mean, touching something, it's a little bit like a reading a book in an e-reader or on a Kindle compared to having a book in your hand. The Kindle's more convenient, isn't it? But having a physical book, being able to turn the corners of the page down, being able to score and write on it is different. And I think there's a similar quality there to actually having a physical photo. But of course, that dividing line isn't hard. A digital photo can quite easily be processed and become something physical. And equally, a physical photo can be scanned in and become digital. So I think there's a back and forth between the two, but they're two almost different things. I think what we do with a digital photo is different to what we do with a physical one, and I don't think we should be thinking that one thing has replaced the other. We've just got this new more recent sort of evolution of having lots and lots of digital photos.
Do people still put photographs? I mean, I remember going to my nan's house, and I'm thinking of my nan because I'm thinking of a particular photograph that I took of her. She lived down in Hove, and she'd grown up there and then gone and travelled and lived all over the place and then came back there in her later years. And it wasn't probably the last photograph of her that was taken, but it was in her 90s and it really captured her. And she was a tiny little bird-like woman, and she's wearing a smart little outdoor suit, and she's got a jaunty hat on. And she's standing on Devil's Dyke, if people know it, down on the outskirts of Brighton and Hove. And she's striking a sort of funny pose, and it just captures her so completely. And I think about her and her connection with photographs, and how she always had photographs of all of us, every single member of the family, however big or small. There'd be a photograph in a frame somewhere in her sitting room, on the mantel shelf or on top of the bureau or on the little bookcase in her front room. And I wonder whether we need to surround ourselves. Do people still put the photographs up in their houses of the people they love in their lives?
Yeah, I think we still have the instinct to do that. But what I find when I look through my photos, there's a lot of them I've taken kind of to share. So they're around particular moments or other funny things that are happening. And I haven't taken quite as many just snaps that I would then be the sort of thing that I put on a mantelpiece. I think because of how we take photos is different, because we're using different devices to do it, how we display them is different. And I think that there is this transition from the sort of photo that we take that's quite posed and you put on a mantelpiece to the ones which are, oh, isn't this funny, or oh, look, I've been to this, you know, country estate today and here's a picture of the kids. So how we're doing that is different, but that sounds like a lovely picture of your family.
It's super, and I would rather remember her like that than how she was right at the end of her life. Although, you know, she didn't get really ill. She just sort of faded. When you're very old like she was nearly 100 years old, she just sort of faded. And it's interesting. I bumped into a friend, an older friend than me, who was at the doctor's surgery the other day, and she was very distressed. Her brother is dying of cancer, and another relative had sent her some photographs on the phone, just pinged her some photographs of him in the hospice or the hospital, and clearly very, very sick with cancer. And she was so distressed, and she showed them to me. And I thought it was really interesting. I thought that is the last way you want to remember a loved one, because there are photographs that are traumatic too, aren't there? And I don't know whether it was the right recommendation, but I said, if it was me and they upset me, I would delete those photos, because that wouldn't be how I would want to remember him.
Yeah, I think I would. Hearing anyone deleting anything makes me a bit nervous.
Really? Why? That's curious.
Because there's no need to delete them. It's like you can put them aside in a separate
but
folder.
But if you don't like them, and you didn't even take them and someone sent them to you, why wouldn't you delete them? Why wouldn't you eradicate them? Why wouldn't you make that choice?
I think for me, I might want to set them aside in the moment, but then later on, once I've processed the trauma, I might then think perhaps I want to come back to it. And also it can be quite, you know, cathartic to have photos that aren't necessarily happy memories. I think that's a very individual thing.
That's really interesting. That's really interesting. But you know, that clearly that's your response is it because of your... Do you think somebody would regret deleting a photograph then, even if they didn't particularly like it?
I think it comes from sort of advising families and working in areas where I'm trying to preserve data. And often families will lose maybe a laptop or a phone, and they suddenly realise they've lost lots of photos along with it, and they can't get those back. Mm. So it's that kind of instinct of saying, actually, it's good to keep these things, because then you can go back to them. Because what you were saying reminded me that photos are a way to sort of pause time, aren't they? And we have these little snapshots, and we can't really do that any other way. But something that's worth mentioning in this conversation is that these days video is becoming more in what we can create and the way we capture memories. So as well as just single snaps of photos, now everybody can share and can take short videos of loved ones. And again, that it sort of expands that sense of capturing a moment in time.
I'm really fascinated by the idea of not deleting photos. Let's ask the listeners what they think of that. Really nice to chat, Andy. Thanks for your time this
Thank
morning.
You.
Andy Robertson. So, a way to pause time.